Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information, go to darusha.ca/weapons. Episode 12, Chapter 23. Dex slept late the next day and had already pinged Annabelle before he realized that she was back on her work week. He puttered around the apartment waiting for her to get back to him, but finally he couldn't stand the waiting any longer. He linked into his office and opened up the file on the M-City anomalies, and saw that entries had continued to be added to it over the past few days. There were now hundreds of reports of issues, and Dex quickly scanned the summaries. All the reports were from people who had some kind of online business, almost all with a storefront in M-City. One stim bar had been entirely demolished for a day, and when it did reinstantiate, it was half the size. It still hadn't been restored, and its owner was looking for a new location to simply rebuild the whole thing. An entire shopping mall of clothing and Avatar extension boutiques had been blockaded, with no means to access any of the individual businesses inside. Even direct links didn't work. Dex read over dozens of reports and thought about the similarities. With Annabelle's information, it all seemed rather obvious. It was an old-fashioned intimidation racket, but not the amateur operation that Mac Larson thought was going on. This was as organized as crime could get. He'd wondered why the consortium didn't just shut down the independents if that was the point of the attacks. But after the research he'd done, he realized that it wasn't the whole consortium. But who was it exactly? After searching the news boards dedicated to the firm's business, Dex had learned that several of the major firms were making plays outside their traditional areas, and he guessed that M-City was one of the target zones. It seemed likely that the attacks in M-City were coming from just those members of the consortium that were part of the expansion. Dex wondered if they intended to make the attacks look like regular vandalism, or some kind of bug in the system, or if the people responsible even cared whether or not someone figured out who was behind it. Knowing that the full weight of all the firms was not behind the attacks made Dex feel a little better, but only a little. Even knowing that it was a rogue group within the consortium didn't help in trying to stop it. The consortium answered only to the boards of directors of the member firms, and there wasn't anything anyone other than those boards could do to stop even part of the consortium from doing whatever it wanted to with the system. Dex sighed and closed the case file. He didn't like the idea that there was nothing that could be done about the campaign against independent businesses, but he couldn't see any way around it. The feeling of impotence was maddening, and Dex wasn't sure what to do about it. He linked out of M-City and threw on some clothes. He left the apartment and started walking. Dex was sitting on a bench, staring out over the ocean at the thousands of satellites lighting up the night sky when his system pinged. It was Annabelle, done with her workday and wanting to meet. Dex had somehow lost the entire day between reading through the case files and wandering the city. He agreed to go over to Annabelle's apartment and stopped off at a shop to get a bottle of the synth wine that she liked. When he arrived, she was just stowing the wrapper from a food brick, and Dex realized that he was starving. "You have another one of those?" he asked, and Annabelle handed him one of the foil-wrapped bars. He traded her the bottle for the bar, and she arched an eyebrow. "What's the occasion?" she asked. "It's been a while since we had a nice night in," Dex said, between bites of the meal bar. "True," Annabelle said. "I was planning on talking shop, though," she admitted. "Of course you were," Dex said, laughing. "That doesn't mean that it has to be a chore." He opened the cupboard door and found a couple of wine glasses. Annabelle popped the top on the bottle, and Dex watched as the chiller engaged and condensation appeared on the bottle. Annabelle poured two large measures, and they clicked their glasses. "Annabelle said after taking a sip. "Not bad." Dex sat at the table and set his glass down. He spent a few minutes explaining his theory about who was responsible for the attacks. "So you think this is just collateral damage from some firms getting too big for their britches?" Annabelle asked. "Yes and no," Dex said. "I think they really are attacking us, attacking the Independents. But it's not personal. It's because they need to expand their power base if they're going to take on the other firms. Get some fingers in the M-City pie." "Jesus," Annabelle said, putting her wine glass on the table. "That fits. And there's no doubt that weird things are going on at my job. We've never taken on someone else's territory before, not that I can remember." "No one has," Dex said. "A few business analysts are talking about it on the financial boards, but it's still early days." "This is bad news." "I know," Dex said. "So, fill me in on your end of things," he said. "I get the impression that you've been a busy little bee in the past day." "Not as busy as I'd like to be," she said, her voice losing its lilt and her face creasing with a frown. "What do you mean?" "Picture's worth 1,000 words, right?" she asked. Dex nodded, confused at the turn the conversation had taken. "Well, vid's gotta be worth more still. Here, watch this." Dex felt his system ping and a small video file began to transfer from Annabelle. "It's the conversation I had with the captain at Fred's the other night," she explained. "We met on an encrypted private channel. It was the best I could do without a transatlantic flight." "You recorded it?" Dex asked. "It wasn't on purpose," she said. "I just left the vid rolling when we went over to the private channel." "I don't follow," Dex said. "I always record your gigs," Annabelle said, smiling. "Could be worth something someday." Dex grinned. "You mercenary, you." Annabelle didn't laugh, though, so Dex just fired up his viewer and started watching the recording. The file started in the middle of one of the longer songs Chemical Celeste played, and Dex saw the head-up display Annabelle used scrolling information on the lower right corner of the image. He saw her send a coded message to Captain Zhang, asking for a private conversation. He heard the captain's voice, as if in his own ears, and saw her avatar appear in the recording as if she were sitting in front of him. "Where's the fire, Lewis?" the captain said, smiling to take the sting out of the question. "This is a decent song we're talking over." "Sorry, sir," Annabelle said, "but this is urgent. I think I've discovered what's going on in M-City, and it's bad. Really bad." "Go on." "I've looked at code from over 1,000 instances of all 3 types of anomalies," Annabelle said, "and it's evident when you take them all together that the issues are being instigated by someone with administrator access. In fact, more than one person. I've isolated 4 separate coding styles, but there could be more." "What are you saying?" "It's the EverywhereNet Consortium," Annabelle said, whispering, even though that wouldn't make any difference. "This is a dedicated attack on M-City, and it's originating from the firms." The captain scowled, but said nothing for a moment. "Can you prove it?" she asked. "Prove it definitively enough that we could take it to the consortium?" "We can't go to the consortium," Annabelle said, her voice rising. "They are the ones responsible. The firms must be aware. They must be behind..." The captain cut her off. "Just answer the question. Do you have undeniable proof?" "No," Annabelle said miserably. "It's all circumstantial. But with all the examples put together, it's the only logical conclusion." "I'm not saying you're wrong, Lewis," the captain said, softening her voice. "I believe that you believe that it really is an attack by the firms. Hell, I'd give 20-to-1 odds that you're right. But that's not enough. What you're talking about is... hell, I don't even know what you'd call it. Enough to start a revolution. We need more than your say-so to do anything about it. Because if you're right..." She gazed off, and Dex saw what he was sure was a flash of fear across the captain's face. "If you're right, then it cannot be allowed to stand." "Sir?" Annabelle said, questions weighing down the word. "I don't know how it happened," the captain went on, as if Annabelle hadn't said anything. "But somewhere along the line, we gave up most of our freedoms in exchange for job security, and we didn't even notice. How many people today even question the idea that their employer owns their home, owns the clothes on their back, that without a job with one of a handful of companies, they'd be on the streets with nothing? The stockholders off in their enclaves, the executives in their towers, they own us in so many ways already. M-City has let some people get out of that cycle and given the rest of us a place to get away from the stinking world out there. And we're not going to stand for anyone trying to take that away." Captain Zhang faced Annabelle, her face stony. "And that's why we have to be sure. 100%, with no other option. Because if you're right, we have to fight. And it's going to be long, and it's going to be tough, and there's no way to know how it'll turn out." The captain was quiet for a long moment, her eyes boring deep into Annabelle's. Finally, Annabelle said, her voice hoarse and quiet, "I'll get the proof, sir." "Good," the captain said, "and I'll start working on a plan." "So what are you going to do?" Dex asked Annabelle when he closed the vid file and refocused on the apartment. "I don't know," Annabelle said, and Dex thought he could detect an unusual note of defeat in her voice. "Do you want me to talk to the captain?" "I don't think telling the captain your theory will help my case much," Annabelle said. "She needs proof, not more theories. But I don't know how to make that happen. It's not like I'm going to break into the consortium system on spec. Hell, I'm not even sure that I could. And there isn't any reason to believe that they leave some file called Master Plan to Fuck with M-City sitting on their servers for me to find, especially if it's only a few of the admins who are in on it." She looked up at Dex. "We have to prepare ourselves for the possibility that there may not be any proof that's good enough for the captain." Dex sighed. "There has to be something," he said. "You traced the code back to some specific administrator's logins, right?" "Not exactly," Annabelle explained. "It's the pattern. There's no stamp saying Jane Smith admin on anything, but you can see evidence of root access from several different nodes, and that means different people." "Couldn't it be someone else?" Dex asked. "Someone who is just imitating an administrator?" Annabelle shook her head. "No. If it were some cracker who'd somehow gotten root, it wouldn't look like this. The nodes the code originated from are all known root access codes. We're talking physical locations here." "Sounds pretty conclusive," Dex said. "So what's the captain's beef?" "It's complicated," Annabelle said. "I mean, do you really understand what I've just told you?" Dex shook his head. "But I know you know what you're talking about." He broke off and felt his stomach flip. "Exactly," Annabelle said. "It's just my word. Mine and probably a few other people's who could see the pattern too. And just going on our say-so isn't enough. Not for what we'd need to do." "Shit." "Yeah," Annabelle said, refilling her wine glass. "Shit." After a half hour, it became evident that Annabelle wanted to be left alone, so Dex walked back to his apartment. He had that annoying, itchy feeling he always got when he was stuck on a case, so he linked into his office. He didn't know what he could do to help Annabelle, but if he could at least make some headway on his own case, it might distract him for a while. His messages were full of the usual reminders to look at case files and return calls, and as he scanned the list of incoming messages, Desdemona Ashell's name popped out at him. She'd returned his call earlier that day, and he still hadn't gotten back to her. Dex felt like a dog chasing its tail, but it was either plod away at the investigation or fret about the captain's ultimatum to Annabelle. He knew he couldn't do anything about the latter, so he figured he should go for the option that at least looked productive, even if he didn't think it would get him anywhere. He couldn't imagine what light talking to Ashell again would shed on the case, but it was something to do. Chapter 24. "We finally managed to connect, Mr. Dexter," Ashell said. "What can I do for you today?" "As you know, I'm investigating a series of vandalism attacks on online businesses based in M-City," he said, not technically lying. "I understand that the Looking Through Doors and Windows gallery is closed down. I was wondering if something like that had happened to the gallery." "How odd that you should ask," Ashell said. "No, we never had any problems like that. I'm simply tired of the work. The art world can be very cruel, Mr. Dexter. I was putting in a lot of work into the gallery, and I just wasn't seeing the reward I wanted to." "What a shame," Dex said. "You had some excellent shows there." "Thank you," Ashell said. "But as I said in our last conversation, I am certain that none of the artists I've represented are responsible for the vandalism you're referring to. I fear that I'm at a loss as to why exactly you want to talk to me again." Dex ignored the question and continued on with his own inquiries. "So the gallery was never a victim of vandals, Ms. Ashell?" "No," she answered again. "I see," Dex said, making notes and quickly scanning the file. "You're a member of the Light of the Simulacrum, aren't you?" he said. "That is none of your business," she answered hotly. "What makes you say that?" "Reverend Alfred hired me to look into the vandalism at the temple, Ms. Ashell," Dex answered calmly. "And she supplied me with a list of people who'd been to the space shortly before she found the temple in its current state. Your name is on that list."
"Is it?" Ashell said. "I'm going to have to talk to Martina about expectations of privacy."
"She's quite aware of the members' expectations," Dex said, "and I've guaranteed discretion. I'm hoping that the people who were at the temple that day might remember something that could lead us to whoever did this. I'm sure you can appreciate that."
"Of course," Ashell said somewhat sourly. Could you describe how the temple looked when you were there? Anything you remember would be helpful.
I suppose, Ashel said.
Well, when I got there, Misty, another congregant, was in the sanctuary. We spoke briefly, then I sat and read for a while.
That's all? Dex asked.
No, Ashel said. Before I left, I went to the viewing wall. I find watching the swirling pattern of all the incoming and outgoing traffic in M-City quite soothing. I stood at the wall for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes? Anything interesting in the pattern?
Oh, the usual, Ashel said. The green lines of incoming traffic intersecting with the red lines of the outgoing.
And, as it happens, I was lucky enough to catch the bright light of a new instantiation. It is a beautiful sight, almost like lightning across the board, as a new creation comes into existence. A truly awesome experience, Mr. Dexter.
Indeed, Dex said, something in the back of his mind setting off alarm bells. He rapidly paged over to his notes from his conversations with the other congregants.
Ms. Ashel, he continued as he scanned his notes, what time do you estimate you were at the temple?
Early afternoon M-City time, she said. That's my usual.
If I told you that the temple's logs show you entering at 1304 and leaving 38 minutes later, would that seem correct?
Yes, Ashel said, a note of confusion coming into her voice.
Is the time that important?
I'm afraid it is, Dex said.
According to M-City records, there were no instantiations after noon until 1921 that day. If you saw an instantiation, you must have returned to the temple after your afternoon visit. And there's no record of such a visit, which must mean that the temple code was already damaged by the time you were at the viewing wall. Ms. Ashel, do you have something you want to tell me?
No, she said, but Dex could hear the panic in her voice.
You must be mistaken. Maybe it was another day I saw the instantiation. I go to the temple often enough.
I don't think so, Ms. Ashel, Dex said. I'm sure you would remember exactly what you saw at the temple on the day someone flailed around in the code and wrecked the place.
Come on now, she said. It wasn't a hatchet job. You should know that modifying the temple would not be easy to accomplish, Mr. Dexter, she said. It was a great design feat, one which anyone with an eye for talent would recognize.
I understand you are looking to make a career change, he asked, changing tacks rapidly.
What makes you think that? Ashel asked, her voice wary.
You did approach Stella Bish about becoming a freelance designer, did you not?
How do you know about that? Ashel asked angrily.
It is true, isn't it? Dex asked.
Yes, Ashel admitted quietly. I'd hoped that I'd be able to turn the gallery into a full-time business, but even online there isn't much money in art. So I thought I could go independent, maybe make it work that way. But I didn't have enough experience. I had nothing to show to prove that I could do more than just make boring corporate interfaces better.
She ran out of steam.
Ms. Ashel, you vandalized the temple, didn't you?
I don't know what you're talking about, she said, bluster not even coming close to covering the panic in her voice.
Did you really think that a bunch of virtual wallpaper was going to impress Stella Bish? Dex asked, hoping for a reaction.
He got one.
You wouldn't know art if it bit your Philistine ass, she said. The temple is easily my best work. Ms. Bish would change her tune if she got a look at that piece.
Perhaps, Dex said, incredulous.
But why the light of the simulacrum temple?
Regardless of what a troglodyte like you may think, I am not a destructive person by nature. I had no wish to deprive anyone of anything they might need, so the temple seemed the obvious choice.
And I assumed they would appreciate the work, Ashel said dryly.
Appreciate it?
Yes, she said. Followers of the Light of the Simulacrum believe that fully exploring virtuality will help us to recognize the inherent illusory nature of all life. Once we can truly see and experience the illusion, we can transcend it and become more than human.
She stopped talking, as if that would explain everything.
Dex said, I have a basic grasp of the LOS philosophy, he said, but I can't see anywhere in it where the members would be happy to see their worship space destroyed. Especially after they spent so long raising the funds necessary to instantiate it.
Pah! Ashel spat.
The building was just an illusion. The money we spent to build it was just as much an illusion. By changing the appearance of the space, I was just making the mutable nature of reality more obvious.
She laughed harshly.
They ought to thank me. Dealing with the broken temple, facing our attachment to the design rather than its purpose, has been a more useful spiritual activity than any of the services in that temple ever were.
Dex shook his head.
Did you think you were going to get away with it? He asked.
Of course not, Ashel said derisively.
How could I possibly use it as an example of my work unless I claimed credit for it? Then why have you been silent all this time? Dex asked. You're a member of the Light of the Simulacrum. You know how desperate they are to fix it. Yes, Ashel said, the defiant pride leaving her voice. Well, I wasn't quite expecting people to be so upset. These are my friends and colleagues, after all. I never intended to cause anyone any... She seemed to be searching for the words. Any discomfort or anxiety. It was a purely intellectual, purely aesthetic endeavor. Truly, it was. Dex didn't know what else to say, since she really didn't seem to understand what she had done. So he simply told Ashel that he was going to have to forward a copy of the conversation to the leadership of the Light of the Simulacrum Temple. It will take me about an hour to send the report, he said. I expect the space to be reverted back within a day. I trust, for your own sake, that you took a backup of the code before you destroyed it. Of course, Ashel said. But only a day? Dex could hear the pout in her voice. I still haven't been able to get through to Stella Bish and show her the work. Dex sighed. You've probably got time to take some video of the site, he said. Oh, Ashel said. Yes, I suppose that would be better than nothing. What a shame they just didn't understand. She broke the connection, and Dex wondered about her mental state. He also wondered how Reverend Alford and the rest of the congregation would take to the vandalism coming from one of their own members. On the other hand, the way Ashel described it, he wondered if it was just a matter of time before something like this happened. If everything is an illusion, what difference does it make if you destroy something? Dex wrote up his report for the Light of the Simulation congregation and updated the case file. It took him at least an hour, and when he was done, he pinged Reverend Alford. He asked her to meet him in his M-City office, and she agreed to be there right away. Dex linked in quickly and managed to tidy up his desk before he saw the shadow cross the glass of his door. He opened the door for the Reverend and gestured for her to sit. "Do you have news for me, Mr. Dexter?" "I do," he said and sat across from her. He didn't mince words or waste time. "The person who vandalized the temple is a member of your congregation, Desdemona Ashel. I have an audio log of her confession here."
"Des Ashel?"
Martina Alford seemed surprised. "But Des is an active member of the congregation. If I remember rightly, she gave generously to the new building campaign. She's a regular attendee of services and runs some of the lay workshops. I'm afraid I have a hard time believing that she would do anything to hurt our congregation." "I don't think she perceived of the act as a truly destructive one," Dex explained. "But ultimately, she did it for material gain, or at least the hope of material gain. I think you'll find the log of our conversation quite revealing." Dex sent Reverend Alford a copy of the audio file along with his report. "I'm sure she'll restore the building," he continued. "She doesn't seem to really understand the gravity of what she's done, but she did appear to take my suggestion that she fix it as more of a threat than it really was." Alfred's avatar had frozen while Dex was talking, and he guessed that she was scanning through the audio conversation. He let her finish, and when her face reanimated, he thought he saw a trace of amusement among the sadness. "Des always did have a strong personal theology," Alfred said with a small smile. "In some ways, I think she may even be correct. However, it just goes to show how strong the illusion of reality is, when we all felt so strongly a sense of loss when the temple was altered," she thought for a moment. "Maybe Des did do us a favor after all, Mr. Dexter." Dex just raised an eyebrow. "I appreciate all your help, Mr. Dexter," Alfred said, standing. "We can take it from here." He shook the Reverend's hand and saw her to the door. He didn't understand these people and their beliefs, but as long as they weren't trying to force their strange ideas on him, he didn't mind them either. He wondered, though, if Desdemona Ashel's belief that fundamentally nothing she did mattered was common among the Similes. And if it was, what did that mean for them as a community? And what did it mean for everyone else? You've been listening to The Beauty of Our Weapons by M. Darusha Wayne. For more information about this and the other Anderson Dexter stories, please visit darusha.ca/dex. The theme music is First We Take Manhattan, performed by Donovan Alex and Yoko Rocks. More information at soundcloud.com/donovan-alex. Thanks for listening.